The following is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of Corus Entertainment.
Good Sunday morning and welcome to Your Life, Your Money with Kelvin the Money Guy. You can visit Kelvin's website anytime at askkelvin.ca. That's askkelvin.ca. Or you can call him at 416-457-7526. That's 416-457-PLAN. And, you know, what's your life, your money all about? It's about all those things that you think are too complicated, that will bog you down, that keep you up at night, that you're worried about, but it's simplified. It's just right down to that convergence of where the needs of your life meets the amount of money that you have and the amount of money that you want, and how we're able to make sure that you have those things and that you have the right plan moving forward. And that's why it's always great to have Kelvin the Money Guy on the show, because Kelvin is one of the top financial advisors in the country and an all-around great guy. Kelvin, how are you doing this Sunday?
I am doing well. How are you doing now that we lost our sleep?
I'm feeling it. I've got extra coffee. That's what's happening. I don't want to admit that I'm feeling it, but I think I am, and it's just I think because it caught up with us. It's surprising. So many things, including the surprising spring-like weather that we've been having. Yeah. I know it always gets a little warm in February. You get a little bit of a thaw. But this has been a little bit more than I think I'm used to. I've used my snowblower, I think, once, maybe twice all year. And now I'm feeling like I got to pull out the lawnmower. I'm looking at the grass. I know, you know what, there's a little bit of snow around, depending on where you're listening to us. But it's going to warm up again next week. So what can I say? It's been a wild and crazy year. So many things seem to be catching up with us. You know, the early spring was predicted by a groundhog. Now, before we know it, there's an Easter bunny hopping around our house as well.
Well, think about Easter, how it's so early this year as well.
It's so early. April 1st, April. So if you're not ready for it, right at the end of March, you're going to wind
March
up with
29,
Easter.
30, yeah.
And you get together with your family and hide some eggs or whatever you happen to do. And my family's Orthodox. So there's always this like balancing act between my wife's family, who's Catholic, my family, who's Orthodox. And we always cross our fingers. Like, we could look ahead and actually plan, but we cross our fingers every year that Easter is going to be on different weekends for our two families. Mm-hmm. So that way you can spread it out and try to see as many people as possible. And this year, Orthodox Easter isn't until like May 5th or something like that. So I got a month of Easter decorations in my house. And that's what I have to look forward to, basically.
Yeah, I hear you. Oh, well, time's flying. You're right. I mean, it's going to be an interesting year this year, 2024. It's already shaping up to be one of the warmest winter, they said.
Yeah.
The clock's going ahead early, the Easter early. I don't know what else is going to happen early. Maybe Trump winning early. I don't know.
Maybe not. But the Bank of Canada chose not to move on their interest rates early.
Yeah.
They're holding them still. So that some things can stay the same.
And you know, I don't think they can say they're going to bring down rates right away, because it'll just jar people to go and start borrowing money and spending on cars and frivolous things that we maybe shouldn't have. I think by June, July, by Canada Day, what the experts are saying, we'll see rates coming down. So people that are listening, sit tight, hold on. Things will start to get better. It's like the stock markets. You know, when we looked at last year, January till like October, man, it looked dismal. Like, you know, nothing's going to work out well. And then we turn the corner mid-November, and it's still riding high. And it looks like this year is going to be one of those great years for the markets as well, barring any, you know, I don't know, earthquake, wars, whatever may happen. But it looks like things are good. Earnings are good. Companies are faring well. All the layoffs they've done over the last 18 months are working. So a lot of the things that they've done in the background is now seeping through the economy and the stock markets and everything else for us. So that's a good thing for us. I think those are things to look forward to as we head into the, second quarter and so on of the year. So,
I don't know if it's any indicator, if there's any index on GO station parking spots, but people returning to the office and really getting down to work, I think, seems to be a trend because I find I'm getting one of the last few spots at my GO station every day. So a lot of us cramming back onto the highways and the commuter trains and getting back to work.
Well, that's that's one of the thing. One of our greatest assets is to get up in the morning and go earn a living, right? That's what our greatest assets is for us. And that brings me to my topic, life insurance. Like, what if you die or get an illness? Like, what happens to your ability to get up in the morning and, work to pay the bills and sustain your family and so on and so forth?
We take it
I,
for
you know, I was
granted,
thinking about
right?
this.
That ability to get up, go to work, and how many of us wouldn't be able to sustain our lifestyle if someone got sick.
And that's the thing, when I look at what we do for a living, financial advisors, we talk a lot about, the markets going up and down. We talk about, planning your retirement, which is a good thing that we all do. And I think sometimes we forget to focus on some of the other things. What if we died? Or more importantly, what if there's a critical illness, stroke, cancer, heart attack, that we have to stay home for 6 months to a year? Then what happens to our bills? Many of us, having a tough time paying the bills, buying food, gas, and so on. So many of us don't have that 3 months of income stashed away, right? So these are the things we need to think about. If major illness was to happen, what do I do? So there's things out there you could buy, like critical illness, disability insurance, and I'll talk about the difference between those things. Life insurance, critical illness. And I think one of the things, Chris, that I find with life insurance, like a will, people don't want to do it because I think they associate life insurance with dying and a will with dying. If I do it, man, I'm going to die. And I think that's why many of us, don't do it.
You don't even want to imagine the possibility. It's funny because it's like what do they say? The only two things that are constant are death and taxes, and you don't want to think about either of those things. You don't want
And
to, and
it's funny that you said, like, the only thing that protect you against both is life insurance. It'll protect your family when you die, and it'll protect your estate when you die. It'll pay all the taxes. So it's really how backwards things are that we need to look at. When I talk to clients that come and see me after these shows, or people that I know, life insurance is very funny. It's people don't buy life insurance. It's sold to them. And typically from a friend or a family member that just got into the business, got their license, and sell you some life insurance. And what I find is they sell you like a term insurance, a term 10 or term 20, because it's cheap. And people buy life insurance for the wrong reasons. And I guess it's because it's an emotional buy, right? When you're buying your life insurance, you're very emotional about it. You go, "Oh, what if I die?" and stuff. And many times we buy the improper things. So life insurance and critical illness can be very complex thing. There's many variables to consider and it can be confusing. So to make sense of all this stuff, I thought I'd talk about some of the myths and some of the truths about life insurance and critical illness. And there's many things to talk about, and of course we can only cover so much in the next hour or so. But like I say, we as financial advisors don't really talk too much about clients' life insurance and critical illness and so on, because we're so heavily focused on retirement. But what if retirement doesn't come? Then what, right? So one of the biggest myths about life insurance, and I know life insurance is boring, so try and jazz it up a bit. So if you have one of the myths, like I say, is if you have life insurance through your employer, that coverage is enough. Well, the truth is, if you have life insurance through your employer, it's often not enough. Typically, what are your benefits through like your benefit plan, the insurance component is typically about 2 to 3 times your income. And that's typically what it is. And people's mortgages today are way more than 2 or 3 times their income, right? And one another problem I find is typically the company that you work for own the insurance, like own the insurance. So you should always look at private insurance on your own. So for example, let's say you get fired and you get hit by a car that day. Well, guess what? There's no life insurance because you have to be employed to get the benefit from your workplace. So you should really look at what does it cost me for my life insurance? What is, do I need the life insurance? First of all, I have so much at work. What if my liability is way more than what my life insurance would be at work if I died? And what will happen? So those are some of the things I think, you want to, people want to look at and give it some thoughts. Later on, as we move on after the break, we'll just look at some other myths and truths about, life insurance and critical illness.
Breaking down those myths and exposing the truths about life insurance and critical illness insurance. They're things that you probably don't think too much about, but they're things that you absolutely need. And especially if you're looking at, if you're thinking about your loved ones and your family and what happens if, God forbid, something happens to you. Like Kelvin said, it can be pretty dry, but we'll try and keep it spicy and we'll try and keep it interesting for you here as we continue on Your Life, Your Money. Let me give you those numbers quickly if you want to get in touch with Kelvin and you're looking and thinking about, all right, I don't know where to begin to think about life insurance and critical illness insurance. Well, you can begin by calling Kelvin, the money guy, 416-457-7526. That's 416-457-PLAN. And you can always pick up the phone. That's what you were doing with that phone number. Well, you can go to the website. It's askkelvin.ca. That's askkelvin.ca. You click on the schedule a call link and you pick a time and date of your choosing when you can hang out and chat with Kelvin, the money guy, about all of the things we're talking about here today and so much more. Stay tuned. There's a whole lot more of Your Life, Your Money with Kelvin, the money guy, continuing on 640 Toronto.
You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of Corus Entertainment.
And welcome back to Your Life, Your Money here on 640 Toronto. Your Life, Your Money with Kelvin, the money guy. It's part of your Sunday, so thank you so much for making us part of it. And thank you for joining us, Kelvin, the money guy. AskKelvin.ca is his website. That's Ask KELVIN.ca. You click on the schedule a call link and you book a time and date of your choosing when you can chat with Kelvin the money guy, or you can give him a call at 416-457-7526. That's 416-457-PLAN. And today we're talking about some of the myths and some of the truths about life insurance and critical illness insurance. And I'm always interested when we get to the part about critical illness insurance. Whenever you've had an opportunity to bring it up, it seems like something that's very interesting. And it's something that people bring up to me when I meet them. And I say, listen, I'm not the guy. I'm not the money guy. I'm the blah, 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 yakety yak radio guy. Kelvin's
Right.
the money guy, and you can give him a call. But Kelvin, we're going over these myths. Before we took a quick break, you were talking about one of the myths being that if you have life insurance through your business or through your company and you're employed by some big company that's offering you that benefit, that's great. But what happens, A, if it's not enough, and B, if you lose that job?
And that's why it's really important to get personal life insurance to supplement that. And if you get fired, quit your job, leave, at least you have a coverage when you walk out of, when you walk out the door, right? Another big myth is if you don't have dependents, do you need life insurance? If I don't have any kids, do I need life insurance?
I would probably have never thought about life insurance until I had kids. So I'm guessing there's a lot of people out there who don't have kids who think, what do I need life insurance for? Who am I paying out to?
And that's one of the things people need to get their head over is that, the truth is, although we often think of life insurance companies providing financial protection for your dependents when you die, well, what if you have a will, right? Life insurance can be used to cover the cost of your estate taxes. For example, if you have a RIF, a LIF, RSPs, and so on, and it's quite a big one. Well, the life insurance will cover the estate, will cover the taxes, because life insurance upon death is not taxable. So it could, cover all of the fees that your estate or your loved ones will have to pay. Life insurance can be used also to provide, a very tax efficient investment growth while maintaining a level of security, meaning, we get caught up with the stock markets, mutual funds. I bought this stock, it made me $1 billion, and it lost me $1 billion. We get caught up in all this stock markets going up and down, up and down. But the truth is, life insurance might be just as an effective tool for retirement planning, because it gives you both the element of buying into the stock markets and an element of life insurance if you were to die. So people need to look into these things. I spoke last time of the GMWB. You know how we have all these acronyms in our business, right?
Yeah.
The guaranteed withdrawal minimum, withdrawal plan. People maybe need to look into that and see, is that something for me? It's pretty much a mutual fund with an insurance wrapped around it. That's pretty much what it is. So life insurance is a versatile tool, that essential part of our estate planning, at any time in our lives. So we really need to look at it from an outsider point of view, rather than thinking, geez, this is only get me money and I die. Well, it could be part of your whole financial plan. So that's one of the things that you need to look at. Another myth is life insurance is too expensive.
And that's something that I think is probably the initial sticker shock of people thinking, "Wow, like how am I gonna afford that?"
Right, exactly. But the truth is, many people think they can't afford life insurance, and you can. I was reading a statistic that said that 38% of millennials and 29% of Gen Xers think that it's too expensive. The trouble is, when they hit their 50s and their 60s, then they're going to realize and go, oh man, I should have bought that when I was younger. Because it works with age and health. So the younger you are, the cheaper it is, right? There are policies that can fit any budget. You just have to figure out what's your budget, and then you can buy the appropriate insurance to fit in that budget. It's better to have something than nothing. And if you buy these term policies, there's three types. There's term, whole life, universal insurance, all different types, right? And the appropriate type for you is what you can afford. And if you were to buy a term insurance, say a term 10, so if you don't die before 10 years, nobody gets any money. But you buy what they call a renewable convertible term 10, so that when you hit that, 5 to 8 years, you can convert it into something more longer. Like I say, it's best to have something than nothing. So you really need to stone your advisor and look at where you are in life today. I
So say
remember
you're
years.
40. Sorry for to use an example. So you've got a client who's 40 years old. They're looking to find something. They don't have a ton of cash, but they look at a term 10. You don't want to end up having to, start fresh at 50, like you said. But if you've got a convertible one, does that help you out a little bit on continuing rolling over, or is that like starting over again at 10 years?
It's like starting over again, but the difference there is, if over those 10 years you develop some sort of health issues, then the insurance company will convert the insurance without any signs of insurability. So you're kind of given like a free pass almost.
Cool.
Think of people that have mortgages, which is everyone, I guess. You have to buy a mortgage insurance. And typically, when you buy this mortgage insurance with the bank, it's typically the term of the mortgage. So you're buying a 5-year term mortgage, right? So you're buying a 5-year life insurance. And then what happens is that in 5 years from now, if you don't pay off that mortgage, you got to renew the mortgage and renew the life insurance when you're 5 years older. And the problem with the banks is that they don't do the underwriting at the time of purchase. They do it after. So let's say, for example, you say, I don't smoke. And they figure, okay, you're a non-smoker, but then you die. Well, guess what? And they find traces of nicotine or whatever in your blood. They're not going to pay out the insurance. So when you buy a mortgage insurance, you're not protecting you. You're protecting the bank. So people should look at buying their own life insurance on their own and buy a term 20 insurance. So instead of your premiums going up every 5 years, you could reduce it every 5 years because you pay down your mortgage by that amount. And let's say your mortgage is at 5%, right? And you die. Well, wouldn't you rather the money go to your spouse that maybe they can invest it and earn 6% rather than giving it to the bank? So really think about that. Go and look at your mortgage statement and see how much are you paying for your life insurance. And it might seem really cheap today, but if you look into the future when it matures, you're gonna be paying an arm and a leg. So don't get caught up in this more. And in fact, you know, Chris, there's nothing called mortgage insurance. It's a life insurance, but the bank decided to call it mortgage insurance. It's bizarre. So you really need to investigate that. And you can find some savings, you know, maybe not today, but you can find some savings down the road in how much you pay. So is it expensive? I don't know. You got to look at your age and you got to look at your health and where you are, right? So think about that. Another myth is you're too young and too old for life insurance. Either too young or too old. I remember clients telling me years and years ago that their mom and dad bought them a life insurance policy from London Life or one of those old companies from way before.
Yeah.
And it was like a $25,000 coverage, and it was like 25 bucks or something a month. And I at that time, that was probably a lot of money as well. So you should look into this. If you're in your, you know, the truth is, if you're in your 20s or 30s with no dependents, you may think you're too young to need life insurance. However, getting the policy when you're young is the best way to lock in those great rates, right? And remember, you got to sacrifice something to get something. Yes, life insurance is boring and we associate it with, you know, not making us any money. It's costing us money. Well, think about it. You buy a car and you can't leave the lot unless you show them that pink thing, right? The pink slip, right? The
Yeah.
car insurance. You buy a house, you got to buy content insurance because it burns down. We buy extended warranties on cars and appliances. We never think about buying extended warranty in our lives to make sure our family moves on if I die, or more importantly, if I get cancer, stroke, or heart attack, man, you're off for quite a while. Like I say, our greatest asset is to get up in the morning and go and earn a living. Well, if that stuff is impacted by death or critical illness, you're gonna sit, you know, you're gonna think twice, right? And insurance is something that you don't need until you need it, right? That's the problem.
And I think that's probably part of the reason why so many people have a bit of a mental gap on it, because it feels like, well, the kids need new shoes, the house needs to be to be painted, and my wife has been nagging me about our old bathroom, and yada yada
Right.
yada. And there's all sorts of immediate expenses that
Right.
even the sort of superficial, frivolous ones, and then the ones that are right in front of us, like rising grocery costs and things like that. And we think, well, I need money now for the things that I can see and touch and feel.
Right.
But
Yeah.
then that's not the way insurance works, right? You need to be
Exactly.
looking ahead to the
Yeah.
situation where maybe you don't have those things.
Well, think about critical insurance. In my opinion, my personal opinion, I think critical illness is more important than life insurance. I'll tell you why, because, you know, I forget what the study is about cancer, how many people in five or something, I think it's like three or something, I forget, they get cancer, right? So why don't you, if you're under 40, buy yourself a critical illness for one time your income? The stat says cancer, stroke, heart attack might not kill you, but keep you off work for about 6 to 8 months. So get yourself one time your income. And do like a 20-year pay. So after 20 years, you don't pay. If nothing happens to you, you can get all your money back. If something happens to you, God forbid, you don't want to get that, but you're gonna get 100 grand if that's what your income is. And people say, well, Cal, how am I gonna fund this thing, man? I got so much stuff to pay for. So I look at how much money you have in your RSP, and it's always a bad idea to take money out of RSPs like we speak. But you might want to take out the premiums because it's probably about 2, 3 grand if you're under 40, and fund it from your RSP, paid withholding tax, and now you know for the year you have your critical illness. In 20 years from now, if you don't get the heart attack, stroke, there's like 27 things which I'm not going to cover on the show, but there's 27 things you can could happen to you. Well, if it doesn't happen, you take the premiums after 20 years and throw it back into your RSP and get back the taxes that you lost over those 20 years. So what you're doing is you're ensuring that your future, your retirement is looked after no matter what happens to you. So really start thinking outside the box and really think about that, you know? And like I say, you don't want to get that, you don't want something to happen and you think, oh man, I should have done that, you know? And if you do it this way and you do it logically, you will get the coverage, you'll pay for it, and you'll move on, and you don't have to worry about it anymore. And the other thing I said was too young to buy life insurance. Well, what if your mom or dad co-signed for a loan or a mortgage for you, right? And you died. Well, the life insurance will help them out to pay for everything and cover the costs. So life insurance is an asset. Actually, life insurance is a pillar of financial planning. It's one of the pillars of financial planning, but I think we don't look at that pillar too much as financial advisors. And I guess after the break, we'll get into more about biggest myths about life and critical insurance.
Awesome. That critical illness insurance I know is always one that interests people. And if you've got any questions for Kelvin about that, feel free to drop by his website and drop him a line. AskKelvin.ca. That's AskKelvin.ca. Or you can call him at 416-457-7526. That's 416-457-PLAN. A whole lot more about that critical illness insurance and about life insurance. As we continue, your life, your money, with Kelvin the Money Guy on 640 Toronto.
You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of Corus Entertainment.
And welcome back to Your Life, Your Money. Thank you so much for making us part of your Sunday morning. I am Chris Creston, and I'm joined, as always, by Kelvin the Money Guy. Who's Kelvin the Money Guy? He is one of the top financial advisors in the country and an all-around great guy. Someone who makes all these complicated money topics easy to understand and simple and interesting. You can visit his website, askkelvin.ca. That's askkelvin.ca. Or you can give him a call at 416-457-7526. That's 416-457-PLAN. Hey, Kelvin, we've been talking about the issues of life insurance and critical illness insurance and some of the myths and some of the truths about it. And I wonder what's something that that people are always surprised about when they're thinking about their life insurance?
I think there's not enough literature about life insurance. We don't talk about it as much. We talk the stock markets and the Dow Jones and so on. So we don't really talk about some of the benefits. So for example, say you're older, right? And you've got, 500,000, 600,000 plus in your RSPs. Well, you really don't have that. Say it's 500. You really don't have 500 because if you die, both spouses, the government gets 250,000. So those people should look at buying a joint last die insurance. When you're in your 20s, right, to like say 50, you buy a joint first to die because you want the big lump sum paid out now if one spouse was to die. You've got little kids and mortgages and so on. When you're over 55, you've done a good job saving money. When you're 60 and you've put away money religiously, you follow financial advisors and you follow what they do and blah, 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 and you have 500 grand in your RSP. Now, what you need to buy is buy joint last to die insurance because you need the insurance to pay off when the last person die. Because that's when all the taxes come due, capital gains tax on your cottages, on your investment property, on your RSPs, on your LIFs, on your RIFs, and everything. So have a look and see what your liability down the road is and do the math and say, if I was to buy a joint last to die insurance policy and it cost me 5,000, 10, I don't know, whatever it is, a year. and I live till I'm 90, what's the cost? What am I going to pay versus what's my tax liability? And I always say work the math backwards and figure that out. So those are some of the advantages, the disadvantages of life insurance that we don't talk about because it's boring. I don't want to talk about something boring. I want to talk about something sexy, like the Leafs playing hockey in the
Yeah,
6 months, that kind
exactly.
of stuff.
That's an arm and a leg to go up to see a Leafs game.
Yes.
So,
Yeah. And another thing is, what's the difference between life insurance and critical illness, you think? I was to ask, yeah.
I think having done these shows a bunch of times is that life insurance basically, it pays out when you die or in the event of a term, and it doesn't pay out at all. But
Right.
the thing about the critical illness is that it pays out, of course, while you're still alive. But it also, if you don't use it at the end of the term, all that money comes back to you.
Right.
And I feel
So
like that's
life,
such an attractive thing.
I'm telling you, you can do the same. You can mix both life insurance and critical illness. And the younger you are, the best thing you can do. Listen, life insurance is a death benefit when you're dead. And critical illness is a living benefit
Yeah.
when you live. So you combine both those things, man, and you do well. Listen, if parents or grandparents that are listening, if you have grandkids or kids in their 20s, this critical illness life insurance is the best wedding gift you can give them because it protects them when they're young and it gives them money when they're older, when they need the money for mortgages and their own kids and all that kind of stuff. So some people, I see don't buy RESPs. They put their money in a life insurance, a permanent life insurance, permanent whole life. So it gives you money when the kids get older, when they're in their 20s. If the child doesn't want to go to school, you take the money from the insurance and do whatever you wish. You don't get the tax break every year like you do with the 20% tax or grant, whatever they call it. But you get a lot of benefits in the back end. So have a look at what you do. Life is not easy when it comes to investments anymore. It's not cut and dry anymore. There's so many things that we can do. There's so many advantages for us if we use it properly. Call your advisor. The advisor has to be life insurance licensed. So you're not going to get any of this stuff from a bank guy because they're not licensed for life insurance, not to pick on banks. What does it cost me for life insurance? Go on my website and send me your age, your date of birth. You don't have to give me your name. Give me your date of birth. Do you smoke? Don't you smoke? And how much life or critical illness I'm looking for. And the rule of thumb is always buy one time your income for critical illness. Okay. Life insurance, well, we got to figure that out. What should you buy? What's your liability if you drop dead today? And don't think of buying life insurance as as debt. Think of it as buying love insurance. You're buying it for somebody that you love, not somebody you want to die and leave them all this debt. So think about those things. Look at your life now and look at your life then. And the only thing that's going to impede us from earning an asset or earning a living is like I say, death and some illness that you may get down the road. If you're listening, go and grab your insurance policy. If you have one, wear a mask because probably dust on it.
That's
Right?
where's he going with
Yeah.
this?
And open it up and take a picture of the front page and send it to your advisor if they're life licensed or send it to me. And let's have a look and see, do you have the right thing? Did you buy the right thing? What did I do? And that's how you should look at your life insurance. Don't be go embrace and see what you got if you have it. Because what you did 20 years ago might not be appropriate today. And maybe you bought a term insurance 19 years ago that's maturing today. And the way the insurance companies set up term insurance, they do not want you to renew it. So what they'll do, instead of paying $100 like you did 20 years ago, it might cost you 500 today. Because if you're that crazy to go and pay it, then yeah, good, more power to the insurance company. If you have a term insurance, why did you buy it? Did you buy it from your friend or did you buy it from a family member? Because probably, I would think, the wrong thing you did. Because when you need it, it's going to expire. And typically, you need the insurance when you're older. to cover the estate taxes. That's what you need it for. So take a look at what you have and see. And like I say, many advisors don't look at it. So after the break, we'll, touch on some of the myths again and some of the truth about both life and critical
Learning
illness.
so much about the insurance and about how it can be a tool and a pillar in your financial plan. And we're learning it with Kelvin, the money guy. Don't forget to visit Kelvin's website, askkelvin.ca. That's askkelvin.ca. And drop him a line and give him that information. And let's find out what's right for you. You can also give him a call at 416-457-7526. That's 416-457-7526. 457 plan. A whole lot more of your life, your money with Kelvin the Money Guy, continuing on 640 Toronto.
You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of Corus Entertainment.
Welcome back to Your Life, Your Money here on 640 Toronto. Thank you so much for making us part of your Sunday morning. I'm Chris Creston. I'm joined as always by Kelvin the Money Guy. Kelvin, we've been talking this hour about some of the myths and some of the truths about life insurance and critical illness insurance. And I think it's always something that is, on the back burner for people's plans. It's not something that you're necessarily thinking about, but we're learning a lot about it here today. So I thank you for that. Kelvin, what more is there to learn? What else can we offer our listeners and some tidbits of knowledge about these insurance products?
So one of the myths is you only need life insurance to cover your final expenses. Well, the truth is life insurance covers more than final expenses, right? Again, do you have a mortgage? Do you have outstanding debt? Do you have dependents that you support financially? And if the answer is yes to either of those questions, having life insurance that covers only final expenses may not be enough. So consider significant assets that you have that you want to leave to loved ones, and that'll cover it. Remember, life insurance is not taxable upon death. So having an insurance that covers more than just final expenses can help you cover the capital gains tax, probate fees, and other payments. Joint last to die, that's the acronym in our world for that. Another myth is you can't get life insurance without a medical exam. So a lot of things have changed. There's lots of insurance companies there now that life in, that the truth is life insurance has changed, like I say, throughout the years. Today, many people can get life insurance covered answering a few health questions over the phone. And now even digitally on the internet. So even a history of cancer, heart disease or stroke, living with diabetes or high blood pressure, doesn't rule out you getting life insurance. And if you follow the leaves, you might want to get it. You might have high blood pressure in June.
Yes, absolutely. There's definitely a little bit of high blood pressure, but I'd rather have the high blood pressure for the playoffs than no high blood pressure at all.
Yes. So critical illness and life insurance is very important. If for me, if I had to pick one, I would pick critical life insurance. If you have kids in their 20s and 30s, you pay half, let them pay half, but get them a critical illness exam. I'm telling you are only going to appreciate this if something happens within the next 20 years. And if nothing happens, get all your money back. So what did you lose? Nothing, right? So think of those things. Don't just think, oh my God, I don't want to buy life insurance. It's too expensive. And many life insurance, we think about Herb Tarlick, I think, is what we think about when we buy life insurance, right? Or what was that movie, Groundhog Day,
Groundhog Day,
crazy
yes.
guy. Yeah. It's not like that. It's really changed. And it's a pillar of financial planning, just like retirement planning, RSPs, TFSAs, all that kind of stuff we buy. Give this some thought and sit down with your advisor. If they're not insurance licensed, go on my website and leave me your date and your date of birth and so on, and let's figure it out. How much does it cost? Can I afford it? And if you can't afford it, well, at least you research and you figure, you know what? I can't really afford it now, but maybe if I save some money during the year, maybe I can do it. Some people use their tax refunds to pay for their critical illness.
Right.
Look around and see what you can do to get the stuff for you, because man, you're gonna be sitting there, something happens and go, oh, geez, I wish I would have done it. And you don't want to worry, as you get older. We've got too many things to worry about. You don't want to worry about if critical illness was to hit you. What would I do? And then guess what? You're cashing all your life savings out to pay for your mortgage and all that kind of stuff. So why not, think about it and see what it costs you today and find a way to fund it. So that, some of these critical new ones now, you can even get some money back in 5 years. So what I'm trying to say, like all these shows, is always explore if this is something for me. If you have an advisor that's insurance licensed, call them up and look at the policy that you may have or not have. Maybe you didn't get it from them. Maybe you got it from they got it from somebody else. And have a look and see, is this the right thing for me? And upgrade it if you have to, you
And what kind
know?
of information, again, just for anyone who's just tuning in now, if you're looking to touch base with Calvin and you go to his website, askcalvin.ca, and you contact him through the website, you're going to want to have your date of birth, right? And not just like your date of birth. So we're not saying, hey, my birthday is March 20th. We need the year.
The month, year, and date of when you were born. Are
And
you a
what else do you need?
smoker?
Okay.
Yeah. Are you a smoker, non-smoker? And how's your health? Are you good? Are you bad? You have like what do you got, right? And that's really all you need. And then what happens is we don't sell anything. I don't sell one life insurance company like investments. We deal with everyone. So whatever it spits out from, like, depending what you want, term, 10 term, 20 term, 100, whatever it is, we'll find out what's the cheapest for you and what's the best. Not always the cheapest is the best. You want to look at the claims. How does the insurance pay out the claim right away if something was to happen? So a lot of things goes into this. So I would say get on the site, give me your name, all that kind of stuff. We can figure it out or ask a question and look at, and like I say, go pull out that policy that you have sitting around forever. And open it up and see what it says. See what the front page says. What's your coverage? When does it expire? What do I got? How much am I paying? Is there cash values? A lot of stuff, man, that you can look at, you know?
It's interesting, I think, that you bring up the fact that you go and you look at what's on your policy and what's on that page and what's in that folder, because I think so many of us probably filed things away and don't even remember. We don't even
Exactly.
remember where we landed on something. Maybe we remember discussing with someone term and
Right.
whole life and yada yada yada, and the minute we
Yeah.
sign those papers, it's just like, whew, where'd it
Yeah.
go?
And it's not sexy to talk about insurance. It's depressing, by the way. But put some life into it and say to yourself, listen, this is the things I need. What does it cost me? Do I need it? Do I have enough? Don't I have enough? Do I have too much? Has somebody sold me too much as insurance? And reevaluate and look at your net worth and do those kind of things. And like I say, call your advisor if they're not insurance licensed. Go on my site and ask me a question. So, hope you learned something over the last hour about life insurance and more importantly, critical illness insurance.
If you want to reach out for Kelvin, reach out to Kelvin, give him a ring at 416-457-7526. That's 416-457-PLAN. And don't forget to visit his website, and that's where you can reach out and give him some information and ask him a question, because that's where it all starts. That's where the plan starts. The website is askkelvin.ca. That's askkelvin.ca. Askkelvin.ca. Kelvin, thanks again for another great Sunday, and thank you all for making us part of your Sunday. It's been a great one, and I've learned a lot about life and critical illness insurance, and I hope that the rest of you do too. Again, the website is askkelvin.ca, and you can call them anytime at 416-457-7526. That's 416-457-PLAN. Stay tuned to 640 Toronto.
The preceding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of Corus Entertainment.